Oh, well, good evening, everyone, and Happy New Year. I was going to try to get one of these out a couple of weeks ago. Unfortunately, I contracted whatever bug was going around, and let me tell you, it was not fun. I'm still not totally well, so if I sound a little bit like a reprocessed frog, that's why. I'm going to be asking your indulgence as I clear my throat regularly because I've still got some stuff going on down there. But I'm a lot better than I was 2 weeks ago. So, for those of you who don't know, that was a pretty famous line from sort of an underrated song, by McCartney and Lennon. It first appeared on the Rubber Soul 1965 recording, if I'm not mistaken, and it's predominantly a John Lennon song. It's, you know, all their songs were quote unquote co-authored at the time, but they were usually predominantly one or the other would be the author, but they'd both get credit, which is sort of a tradition that they carried on throughout the lifetime of the Beatles. And originally it started out, my understanding is it started out with John Lennon writing a song about people he'd known and that sort of thing. And the line about some are dead and some are living, my understanding is, was written specifically about one of his buddies, Stu Sutcliffe, who originally was with the Beatles in early days and ended up dying, I think, in 1962, if I'm not mistaken. And I can't remember if it was a brain tumor or what the heck, but certainly premature passing, which sadly happens a fair amount, it seems. excuse me. Also, many of you may or may not know that the instrumental break in the middle of that song, which sounds like a harpsichord, is actually a piano. The story goes, as far as I understand, that their producer, George Martin, or now Sir George Martin, was called in to sort of do this Baroque-esque piano part in the middle and realized that it was a little too fast for him to play. So, you know, he recorded the thing on the piano at half speed and then doubled it to match the speed of the song. And when he did that, it fit into the tempo perfectly, and it sounded, you know, all nice and pretty and complicated, which it is, excuse me, but a secondary artifact of that is that the piano ended up sounding like a harpsichord. So it's kind of funny how that kind of stuff happens. But I guess such is the nature of happy accidents when you're in the recording studio. And when you're with a guy who's as talented as Martin is, it's kind of hard not to be good. My understanding is his son has sort of taken over in his dad's footsteps. I think his name is Giles, who is also doing recording studio and has done evidently some stuff recently that's pretty good. I'm certainly not as familiar with him as I am with his father. Unlike the original song, which was likely recorded electrically on probably a Gretsch, but don't quote me on that. Beatles were using a lot of those back in that day. This was done on one of my custom G&Ls. Forgive me, I'm trying to chew gum to kind of keep my throat lubricated here. And this particular G&L is a custom shop excuse me, one-off that was done for a fellow, and I ended up acquiring it, and it's sort of a cross between a Jazzmaster and a Strat, and it has three pickups and two Jazzmaster pickups and one Strat pickup in the middle that has reverse polarity, so it's got that kind of Hendrix-y sound, so you can do a lot of things with it. Really like a lot of the G&L stuff. But, you know, you can't go wrong with a guy who started Fender guitars, so, you know, what can I say? and not knowing what amps they would be using, maybe Vox, maybe Fenders. I was doing that through one of my custom-made Goodsells, who you folks have heard me talk about before, who's here in Atlanta as a custom amp maker. Here in Atlanta, who really makes some awesome stuff, and I love his stuff. And in addition, he's just a super nice guy. But that certainly does not have any bearing on whether he's a good amp maker or not, but he is. So it's kind of a two-for-one in this scenario. This particular model was made for me at a specialty two-channel version. So it's a very interesting flavor in that it has sort of an old-school, late 50s, early 60s Gretsch Gibson amp vibe on one side and sort of a Supro-esque Coronado on the other side, which, in case most of you don't know, was an amp used, Supro was an amp maker back in the 60s that was used by a lot of folks, including Hendrix and Jimmy Page. In fact, my understanding is that the first couple of Zeppelin albums were recorded with a Supro Coronado with Jimmy Page playing a Telecaster. And despite the fact that live used Marshalls predominantly during that period and Les Pauls. So anyway, that's your little music trivia dilly for the day. Obviously the reason that I started out with that particular tune, maybe not so obviously, is that during this time of year, I tend to reflect on stuff. And, you know, the song In My Life is about reflection. It's about, you know, looking at the past and looking at the current and kind of doing a life review, which I think a lot of people do during this time of year. You know, and obviously folks have both good and bad occurrences that happen to them, and that's certainly been no difference in that regard for myself. And unfortunately, I've had a fairly bad year, but, you know, things happen, and you sort of have to try to roll with the punches as best you can. You know, nobody's immune from bad things. Nobody's always going to be bad in terms of having bad occurrences happen to them, despite their best efforts. And some of us do self-inflicted stuff, and obviously that's still regrettable, but somehow it seems a lot less, for lack of a better term, worthy of empathy than the stuff that happens to us because of no fault of our own, so to speak. And then it's often, as I say to folks, that, you know, you can't always change or control what happens to you, and very often we can't. Those of you who have had post-traumatic stress disorder or may still have it know that to be true, because sometimes even despite your best efforts, the world kind of, you know, bitch slaps you in a sense, and, you know, you could be minding your own business and get into a horrific car accident or get carjacked or kidnapped or raped or whatever. So, you know, the world's not always a safe place, and I think these days it's probably less so, but maybe that's just because, you know, we're living in it, it seems more, you know, pronounced, excuse me, in our current status. But, you know, the holidays are sort of a time, I think, for us to reflect on that sort of thing, and while a lot of us are sitting back trying to be thankful for stuff, which I certainly do, you know, there's always this sense of melancholy, at least for myself, there's this sense of melancholy about things you've lost or about perhaps you're going through a bad time like I am right now. And, you know, it's kind of hard to overlook that. You know, when you sort of get into the mindset of doom and gloom, or you get into the mindset of loss, or, you know, as I said, if, you know, for those of you who have post-traumatic stress disorder or who have depression, or any other kind of anxiety stuff or experience the loss this time of year, it's always much more pronounced, you know, because you see other folks with families and loved ones and they're happy and joyous, and you see all these, you know, happy, happy, fun TV shows and, you know, pro-holiday things and all that kind of stuff, and you see people in the malls and out the line, they seem to be happy, and, you know, and sometimes I think folks feel like they're the only person that isn't. And I'm kind of here to tell you that's not true. But as I said, we can't you know, we can't always control what happens to us in the world. And as I tell most of the folks I work with, and as I'm telling myself currently, you know, there really, there is really no such thing as justice or fairness in the world. There really is not. It is a social euphemism, frankly, in my personal opinion, just my opinion, to keep the animals such as ourselves from killing each other. So we get fed the line that the cavalry comes in and saves the day, and that good always conquers over evil, and that, you know, if you do the right thing, you're going to be a happy person, and, you know, God's going to smile on you or whatever. And, you know, while I certainly have no doubt that whatever creator or creators or force or whatever, you know, is around, you know, maybe around or whatever, but I, you know, bad stuff still happens. And just because you believe in a supreme being or set of beings and worship or do what you think is appropriate to honor and hold to a good lifestyle, that you think that that supreme being or beings would want you to do, doesn't always mean you're going to have good outcomes here on this earth. You know, and even, you know, Judeo-Christian talks about rewards in heaven. They don't necessarily, in the afterlife, they don't necessarily say you're going to have an easy life here. And that's certainly true from my perspective. And, you know, even F. Scott Peck in his famous book, The Road Less Traveled, I mean, his first line of the book is, you know, life is difficult. And it is. And what I would say is living life fully is difficult. And so for those who have depression or anxiety or PTSD, which is an anxiety disorder, or having bad things happen to them, or just kind of had a bad year, you know, maybe you've lost money, or, you know, unfair, quote unquote, unfair things have happened to you, yada, yada, yada. You know, sometimes it's a time that people start to feel sorry for themselves. And, you know, I would encourage every one of you, as I do myself, to not do that. And that you really need to get rid of this sense that life is fair, that things are fair, that there is justice and ultimate morality and ethics and all that stuff, because frankly, none of that stuff exists. It is all a social euphemism to keep us from killing each other and to keep society semi-intact. You know, and you can really prove it to yourself with just a little bit of logic, and you don't have to have a bunch of degrees and certifications, and you don't have to have a genius IQ to figure this crap out, right? All you got to do is look around and say, well, you know what? If there were justice and fairness in the world, people wouldn't have PTSD. People wouldn't have depression. Children wouldn't be going hungry. There wouldn't be incurable diseases. In fact, there wouldn't be disease at all, right? There wouldn't be wars. There wouldn't be painful deaths. There might not even be death at all, right? Certainly, there wouldn't be murders and rapes and pillages and, you know, bombings and terrorists' acts and violence against people, assaults. There wouldn't be kidnappings. There wouldn't be rapes. There wouldn't, you know, be child molestation. There wouldn't be, you know, atrocities, quote unquote, so-called atrocities done in prisons and in wars. I mean, none of that crap would happen. It just wouldn't. People wouldn't be going hungry. People wouldn't be getting bankrupt. And none of that stuff would be happening. So all you have to do is use a teeny bit of logic to figure out that is a social lie that was perpetrated to us by our parents who were lied, and other people in society who were lied to in the same way we were, and the only difference is they bought it. And for a while, as a kid, I bought it too, until I woke up and realized that, you know, this is really kind of like the Matrix. Having said that, the reality we experience in the moment certainly feels real and certainly feels like it brings up all of these questions. And when bad things happen to us or other people we care about, and when good things seem to happen to quote-unquote bad people or people who do things that are clearly antisocial or illegal, and they seem to get away with it. You know, maybe they do get away with it. You know, somehow that seems unfair, and you're like, what the hell? Where's the fairness in that? Where's the justice? Well, that's because there is none, at least not on this plane. So I tell people, you know, things happen, and we have to deal with them. I certainly know guru. I do not know why things happen. I can't figure it out oftentimes. I scratch my head and go, why is this crap happening to me, or why is this crap happening to people I see on TV, or why is this stuff happening to some of the patients I work with, or my friends, or excuse me, or colleagues, or whatever. And I don't have an answer. I don't think there is one. And in general, what I've simply tried to do, even though I certainly fall on the it's not fair or poor me trap, you know, I just have to keep reminding myself that there is no fairness in the world, there is no justice in the world, and whatever you do, you know, there's going to be things that are beyond your control. What is not beyond your control is what you do about it. You know, and most people, when they get stressed out, when bad things happen, they look for escape avoidant tools. And, you know, some escape and avoidant tools are better coping mechanisms than others, right? So if you're an exercise person, if you're a spiritual existential person, and, you know, you're reading, whether it's the Torah, or the Quran, or the Bible, or whatever, you meditate more, you exercise more, you are more careful what you eat, which is always, you know, difficult this time of year because of the amount of sweets and quote-unquote comfort food, and everywhere you go, excuse me, people wanting you to eat and enjoy, and somehow it's a rude dilly if you don't. So it's much harder to maintain that optimal weight this time of year, but it's possible, certainly. You have to take preparations both psychologically and in some cases, you know, politely say to people, hey, I'm watching my weight or whatever. And, you know, some people try to escape and avoid using other drugs, you know, like alcohol or pot or marijuana or whatever, you know, or just take, you know, copious amounts of Xanax or whatever your drug or drugs or substance of choice happens to be. And while those may help dull the pain initially, they are certainly no remedy. And what I would say is, if you're going to pick a coping tool, pick one that's going to get you somewhere, excuse me, somewhere positive, somewhere down the line, whether it's mental exercises, spiritual exercises, physical exercises, grounding yourself so that you remind yourself. And that's part of what I do during this time period, which again, why I chose that particular piece to emulate at the beginning of this podcast. For me, I get comfort thinking about the folks I know who are in my life, and those who have been in my life who are no longer around for whatever reason, whether they've moved away or they've gotten married and we sort of lost touch, or whether they've passed prematurely or whatever. And part of it is I try to remember those folks with happiness, and I try to remember those folks. And it's bittersweet. I mean, I would be lying if I said it wasn't. Part of it is, gee, there's a sadness that I miss them and they're not here now. But part of it is I try to be thankful for and remind myself and remember the good times that we had and the fact that I had the privilege and chance to know those folks. The other thing I try to do is be very cognizant of the gifts that I have and the things that I have in my life that I often take for granted. And I think other folks probably are not that dissimilar from me. I mean, just this evening, I went over to a neighbor's home. Their son was having a birthday. And these are very decent people, and I've known them for, excuse me, probably 6-7 years since I've moved to this location where I am now. And the family has been very, very kind to me, and they're very, for lack of a better term, quote-unquote Christian in their approach. And I mean that in the most kind manner possible. They're not hypocritical Christians. Excuse me. And despite the fact that, you know, I'm certainly worlds away from them in terms of personality style and, you know, likes and dislikes and, you know, many aspects, and as I've said many times before on these podcasts, you know, I've always been sort of the weirdo, the statistical outlier. And these folks are certainly much more quote-unquote normal America, certainly much more than I am or ever will be. And yet and all, these folks have sort of adopted me and sort of taken me in and been very supportive of my struggles and know about many of my struggles and have really been there for me and tried to help me out in many ways. And, you know, you just don't see that kind of stuff that often, and not everybody has that. And for me, I try to really, really focus on the lucky stuff that I have. You know, I'm a guy who has a boatload of instruments and amps and, you know, whatevers, and they're all very, very special. They're all unique, one of a kind, artist signature, limited run, no longer made, old school instruments that you literally won't find anywhere very often. And I'll say that in a braggadocious manner. I say that in a, how the heck did I get lucky enough to get all these things? You know, and part of it is I worked really hard, and part of it is I just happen to be sometimes in the right place at the right time. Excuse me. But for whatever reason, I've been lucky enough to get them. And they're very dear to me. You know, one of my music buddies that I play with has dubbed them my babies, quote unquote, which I think is pretty funny. She actually called me one Father's Day and said, "Hey, happy Father's Day." And, you know, and I'm like, don't even kid about that crap. You know, for a guy, excuse me, for a guy who's never been married and has no intention of being married, that's another long story. And doesn't have any kids that I know of. I was like, don't even joke about that. And she's laughing. She goes, "No, you know, your 100 whatever babies that you have, your guitars and amps and bases," and, you know, and I'm like, oh my Lord. And it was just, it was the funniest moment. And I think about that a lot. And it brings me a lot of joy. You know, it brings me a lot of joy that folks who are very different from me, and there's not a lot of them that fall in this category. And there's a lot of folks who are very different from me. I didn't mean that. But there's a lot of folks, there aren't a lot of folks who are very different from me who have also befriended me despite my eccentricities. And this gal and her husband are one of them. And another psychologist in town that I jam with is another one. And so I have four or five folks that I'm really, really close with. And I think I'd call upon them, excuse me, to help me out in times of need. And I certainly have another psychologist friend in town who has just been ridiculously supportive. And, you know, I really appreciate that stuff. And it's times when I'm in my most down and my most pain, when I look to remember those things and to look of the aspects in my life, as the song would imply, and see what I have good going on for me and not focus on woe is me and poor me and why is this crap happening to me. Because A, I'm never going to find the answer to that. And any answers I find are going to be conjectures, and I'm going to spend a shootload of money and time and effort and energy and, excuse me, and wasted stuff trying to figure out when I can figure out better how I'm going to cope with what's going on the best I can, and to remember the good things I have in my life, though both those who are living and those who are not anymore, who are still in my life, because they're in my heart and they're in my mind. And, you know, it's sort of like the line on, Star Trek II, you know, at the end of the movie, where, for those of you who've seen that, where, you know, after Spock has been buried, you know, one of the characters, I can't remember, I think it was McCoy, you know, says he's not really dead because he's here in my head and here in my heart. Now, of course, what you don't know is he's carrying Spock's spirit, excuse me, and that sort of sets the stage for the sequel. But, you know, you hear a lot of people talking about, oh, these folks are still alive because they're alive in their music, which is very true, and they're alive in your heart and they're alive in your mind and they're alive in your essence. And what, you know, when you carry them with you, that gives you extra strength and power to help curb the times when the whole world just seems to be crashing around you. And so it's an admixture. The holidays are always, for me, an admixture of remembering stuff and, you know, remembering some of the mistakes I've made that I'm sorry for, remembering the good things I've done, But more than that, remembering the, you know, the good stuff that I have in my life and have had, particularly the people and events that have happened to me, excuse me, to be used as sort of a buffer for the bad stuff that's going on, and a remembrance of how fortunate I am in many, many ways. I mean, this last illness thing that I had lasted like almost 3 weeks. I'm still not quite over it, but, you know, it's going to be about 3 weeks. And I talk to people, and a lot of folks have this thing, whatever the heck it is. You know, and I realize how grumpy and miserable I've been this last couple of 3 weeks. You know, but I forget, excuse me, that since my childhood and adolescence and early adulthood, I haven't been sick hardly at all. I mean, maybe two or three times in the last, you know, 30 years or so. And I mean, you'll excuse the pun, that's nothing to sneeze at, right? Yeah, I know, my joke's never got any better. But seriously, you know, and while I was going through that time, it was like, oh my God, you shoot me now, I'm so miserable. Oh, when is this crap going to be over? I don't have time for this. You know, being the typical whiny, grumpy kind of guy that I can be during these kinds of things. You know, and I forget that this was, you know, status quo for me the first 20 or so years of my life, literally, and a whole lot worse than I had it. So I realize how impatient and intolerable of these kinds of everything isn't perfect in my life, well, health-wise. You know, because as most of you know, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't, you know, I drink rarely. I've never been drunk, I've never done any quote-unquote drugs. You know, I don't eat refined sugar, I eat red meat only rarely, I make all my own, you know, I grind my own grains, I make my own breads and pastas and blah, 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 blah. You know, I don't eat white stuff very often, unless it's cauliflower. You know, I don't eat refined sugars, I don't eat refined pastas or refined breads, you know, and I lead a very healthy, you know, lifestyle for the most part. And so it's like, really? And I got this anyway? So, I have to constantly ground myself. And how I ground myself is listening to music, playing music, working out when I can, when I'm not too sick to work out. And to remember all the gifts that I've been given in my life with my music talent, such as it is, with a few friends that I have that are really, really good, and some of the really cool people I've known throughout my life and some of the cool experiences I've had. And, you know, yes, I've had my share of bad stuff. And as I said, right now I'm going through some bad stuff. But I have to keep reminding myself that I still have control over me. I still have control over my emotions. I still have control over my thoughts. And is it more challenging when the fit hits the shan and everything seems to be against you and everything seems to be going, it's not fair, it's not just, and, you know, not getting a lot of help from other people, blah, 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 blah. Excuse me. It's very easy to fall in the poor me, whiny, you know, cranky, complaining mode. And I hate whiners, and I hate it when I whine even worse. So I'm constantly looking to reground myself, whether it's through my meditation or my spiritual practice, whatever. So I guess what I'm saying to you folks out there is, as you're remembering things that have happened to you through the years, as you're remembering things that are going on right now and trying to cope with good stuff and bad stuff, let this new year be for you. You know, if you don't make any other resolution, and you folks have heard me say this back, you know, before time and time again, resolve to take your power back. Resolve to acknowledge and to accept and to use the wonderful power that every one of you who is listening to this podcast has, which is to control your emotional life, to change how you feel about stuff, to change your thought processes, and to not take things that happen to you in the world personally. Because most of the stuff that happens, you know, it's kind of like the Rush song, Roll the Bones. Why does it happen? Because it happens, roll the bones. To see life as a series of challenges that are there. And again, if you believe in a creator, a higher power, set of powers, force, whatever, think of it as, you know, your creator trying to give you opportunities to strengthen your coping skills and to show your true inner mastery. because every one of you out there, whether you know it or not, you are stronger and better than what is coming at you. And you can rise above it inside, regardless of what happens on the outside. And I think that our challenge here as human beings is to try to grow as much as we can, whether it's emotionally, physically, cognitively, spiritually, to try to be the best that we can be, whatever that is, in all arenas that we can be. So, you know, if you're a person who, you know, God forbid, if you're a person who has Asperger's or a person who has some mental defect or, you know, mental retardation, or you have some physical handicap or whatever, be the best you can be with what you have and try to rise above what you have to the best of your ability. I really believe that every one of us has a ton of inner strength in there. And rather than trying to control the world, rather than trying to be angry and strike out by going postal, quote unquote, or bombing like these, you know, in my personal opinion, these crazy ass terrorists that go out, you know. Yeah, and the thing that I really find annoying is, you know, you're going to go out and blow people up in the name of God. But God is love, but you don't love our God, so we're going to kill you in God's name. I mean, excuse my French, but how freaking dumb is that? I mean, it's downright crazy in my personal opinion. And that's not my professional opinion. That's my personal opinion, okay? It's nuts. It's ridiculous. I don't care if you're a Christian. I don't care if you're a Muslim. I don't care if you're Jewish. I don't care, you know, if you're Taoist. I don't care what you are. It's crazy. You know, if you believe in a god or goddess or set of gods or force that represents peace and tranquility and love and acceptance, you got no flipping business going out hurting people, period, end of story. And if you're a nutcase that tries to justify your nutcasiness with some religious background, shame on your butt. Every one of us, if we really connect with the true being inside of ourselves, and we allow that being to shine, and we allow that being to connect with things that are greater than us, again, I don't care how you see that energy force, higher power, whatever you want to call it, or them, or they, or her, or she, or whatever. If you can allow yourself to really get back to the core and reconnect with that, you will find strength. You will find energy. You will find acceptance. You will find what you need to get where you need to go from an emotional, spiritual, cognitive level. The phone is going. I got to take a quick break. My apologies. That was actually one of my buddies who had the politeness to call. That was really sweet. Anyway, I'm sorry, getting back to where I was. Every one of us has the power to do that, to reach inside ourselves and reconnect with that which we hold sacred, special. And if you can envelop yourself with that energy and reconnect with that energy, particularly when bad things are happening, you will have the power to do what you need to do. It's not easy. It's not quick. It's not going to make the physical things go away in the material world, as George Harrison would say. But it is the way to find some peace in a world sometimes that feels like it's gone mad, and particularly when things go badly for you. And I want all my listeners to hear that you have the ability to do that. Don't take the easy way out. Excuse me, whether it's blowing up a building, whether it's killing yourself, whether it's becoming a drug addict or relapsing or whatever, take the healthy way out. Do things that will change yourself in major ways, because anytime you change who you are inside, you are causing different chemicals to be produced. You're causing different brain patterns and drain waves and neural pathways to create, and you're strengthening your healthy stuff and minimizing your negative stuff every time you do it. And I know it's hard, folks. I know it's hard. It's my lifelong passion that I've been doing since day one. And when the fit hits the shan, it's still damn hard for me sometimes. But I have to keep going. I have to keep myself anchored to that which is greater than me, and reconnect with the real me inside of me, and not get lost with the crap that happens in this so-called real world. Because one day, excuse me, all of this is going away. And, you know, it's kind of like the, kind of like the old Cat Stevens line, you know, I'm not making love to anyone's wishes, only to that guide I see. Because when I'm dead and Lord, Lord, in my grave, that's going to be the only thing that's left of me. And that's true of this world and this reality. You know, I would actually, you know, I would actually propose that this reality we think's reality really isn't reality. But maybe that's for another podcast. And I know that sounds crazy. But think about this, right? Items that really appear solid to us really, really aren't solid. They're just very tightly wound molecules held together by molecular energy, chemical, electromagnetic energy. We just don't have the sense organs to detect that our hands are not solid, that our chairs that we sit in feel solid, because our sense organs are not smart enough, if you will, refined enough to detect the fact that we're really not solid and use the chair we're sitting in. But it sure looks solid and feels solid at the time. And so we have to kind of treat it as if it's solid with the knowledge that we know that it's really, really not, right? And so our senses are very limited in how we perceive, quote-unquote, reality. It's very much like the Plato cave analogy. And for those of you who don't know what that is, it's a really powerful idea, excuse me, that was and obviously created by Plato, which is a, you know, an individual who's a boatload smarter than I am, who basically said that we can't know reality. We only know shapes and forms of reality. We really don't know the shadow. We know the shadows. We don't really know the true forms of reality. And he said he likened it to somebody being in the back of a cave. That's kind of like an L shape, and you're in the back, and you can't get past a certain bend because of rocks blocking it. But there's like a little peephole, if you will. There's enough space in the rocks you can see the wall and the face of the cave, the mouth of the cave that goes to the outside. You can see the sunrise and the sunset reflected on the wall of the cave. And so animals go by the cave, you know, whether they're elephants or dinosaurs or giraffes or whatever, and you hear the elephant making a noise and you see the shape of the elephant and you say to yourself, oh my gosh, that shadow, that elephant, that reflection on the cave, that's what people call an elephant. Okay, I get it. And then one day, excuse me, the rocks, you know, you have an earthquake and the rocks go away and you can, you know, they fall down and you're no longer a prisoner in that part of the cave. And so you can go out and turn around the bend and see what reality really is. And an elephant walks by and starts, you know, doing its thing. And you go, oh my God, that elephant's nothing like what the shadow was on the wall. Yeah, I know. And that's really what reality is. There's shadows on the wall because we don't have the equipment to really detect it. And so what I say to people is, you can act like all this is reality, and we have to as long as we're in this physical body having to deal with this stuff. But never forget, as Yoda might say, luminous beings are we, not this crude matter. And if you can reconnect with that and the truth that's in there and your humanness, so to speak, you will survive. And you will survive well intact from a spiritual, from a cognitive, and from an emotional level. And that is our journey, in my personal opinion. Not a professional opinion, my personal opinion, that is our journey. We are on to be the best person we can be and the most human person we can be. And we can't do that by focusing on the outside and the horrible things that happen to some of us. And we can only focus by reminding ourselves of who and what we are. And by being thankful for what we have and what we have had. And to keep those who we love in our hearts and our minds and our souls and use them as reinforcement and sort of life rafts to help us when the fit hits the shan, so to speak. And to not be distracted by the reality that we call reality. And to not let the world determine, excuse me, who you become in your journey to be the best you can be. I hope that's helped, folks. I really appreciate your listening, as always. Hopefully I won't sound as froggy on the next one, but this was kind of something that was out of my control, and I did want to put a podcast out because I think it's important, even though these are certainly not done with the frequency I would like. Thanks for listening. I appreciate it. Have a great new year, and always remember, reclaim the power inside of you. Every one of you has it. Never forget that. Nobody can take that away from you. Have a good one.